Thanks, Sam, for reading for us. And good morning, everyone. Welcome to Cross Life Church. And thank you for joining us online. My name is Michael. I'm one of the pastors here, and I'll be speaking from this particular passage. This is a one-off talk that we are doing for this week. Our vision for this year has been to grow in the way that we welcome others. And the topic for today is entertaining angels unawares, especially as it relates to welcoming. And I hope that you've seen in the passage how Abraham has kind of put that into practice. So we're going to pray as we head into God's word. But another thing that we're going to pray about before we do that is that we heard just this morning that Carol Sims from our church, her brother, Kevin, who is in the States, has contracted COVID and he is currently unconscious in hospital. So we're going to be praying for his healing as well. And can I encourage you also to include that in your own regular prayers too? Please join with us as we pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we know that we live in a world of suffering and sickness, and we know that that is the result of our sin against you. Lord, we look forward to the day when Jesus will bring perfect healing and perfect peace to the world as we groan in this fallen creation. But Lord, we know that you are a God that gives healing. We know that you are powerful, Lord, and so we pray for Kevin, and we pray that you may give him healing and recovery from COVID. Please restrain the spread of the virus in his body. Please give the doctors and nurses who are caring for him wisdom to know how best to care for him. And Lord, we pray that the treatment that they're giving him may work and that he may recover and that he may be able to live for you. Lord, we also pray for the rest of the world as we all suffer in various ways underneath this virus. Lord, we pray that you may restrain the spread. We pray that you may give vaccines into the hands and arms of those who kind of most need it. And Lord, we pray that there may be a time sooner rather than later when we look upon all this as a distant memory and thank you for how you've brought us through it. And Lord, we also pray that as we head into your word today, we thank you for the example of Abraham in Genesis 18. And thank you also for the New Testament, which takes that as a model for us to follow in our hospitality to others. Please help us to have that same attitude, that same heart that Abraham did. And we pray that you may use our welcoming hearts to help people feel loved and welcomed, whether it's in our homes or in our church. And Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The Bible says about angels that they are ministering spirits sent out to serve for the sake of those who are to inherit salvation. In the Bible, angels serve people by visiting them and passing on messages from God. An angel came to Mary to inform her that she would give birth to the baby Jesus. An angel warned the wise men who visited Jesus that Herod wanted to kill Jesus, and so he warned them not to go back to Herod. An angel told the women at Jesus' tomb that Jesus was raised from the dead. An angel came to John to show him the vision that would become the book of Revelation. You see, to be visited by an angel is to hear the voice of God. And so it's not too big an exaggeration to say that to be visited by an angel is to be visited by God as well. Now, with that in mind, if an angel came to visit your home, how would you treat them? We talked before about the famous people we'd like to have for dinner. My favourite would be G.K. Chesterton. It'd be great to have him for dinner, alive rather than dead. But if those famous people came to our house, I imagine that we would do our best to make them feel welcome. You know, we would clean up our place. We would give them our best food. We would try and be the most welcoming person we could be. You know, even if the best thing that you could serve them is microwave pizza from the freezer. If someone you respect and admire came round to your place, you would do your best to make sure that that was the best microwave pizza that they'd ever had. But just say God came to your house for dinner. How much better treatment does God deserve compared to the famous people who we talked about? The Bible teaches that that kind of hospitality that we would show to God or an angel of God is the same kind of hospitality we should show to people who are complete strangers to us. We are going to see that from the life of Abraham. We're going to see that from the book of Hebrews as well. We're going to see what that hospitality looks like. And we're going to see how we can put that into practice in our church and in our lives, and especially when we meet in person. And so our key passage today is just one verse, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 2. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. This verse is near the end of Hebrews. It's in the middle of a series of final instructions about all sorts of different things. But if you read just this verse, you'd probably think to yourself, like, you know, seriously? You know, does this kind of thing even happen? You know, the strangers who I meet on the street of Sydney or in Waitara Park or at work, you know, could those people really be angels in disguise? Is that what the Bible is saying? It seems pretty far-fetched. But if you're familiar with the Bible, you will know that there is a precedent to it. We saw that in Genesis 18, the other Bible reading that we had today. God comes to visit Abraham through three angels. Abraham did not know who they were. He just saw three men. These men didn't identify themselves. They were strangers to Abraham. And before Abraham knew who they were, though, he showed hospitality to them. He let them rest at his place and he let them wash and he served up a meal for them. And I think that Abraham finally finds out at some point that these guys are more than meets the eye, because they tell Abraham in a year he's going to have a son, even though he's 99 years old and his wife Sarah is 90. You see, Abraham shows hospitality to these angels of God without knowing it, and he receives a great promise of offspring from God in return. And I think there are a few lessons that we can learn from Abraham about how to show hospitality to strangers. There are two main things that I want to point out. And the first one is a position of humility. And the second one is a provision of abundance. So first one, a position of humility. If we want to show hospitality to strangers, this is the position we adopt. And you can kind of see that with Abraham, can't you? If you look at verses 3 to 5 of chapter 18, Abraham says, O Lord, if I have found favor in your sight, do not pass by your servant. Let a little water be brought and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree while I bring a morsel of bread that you may refresh yourselves. And after that, you may pass on since you have come to your servant. See, Abraham sees himself as a servant of these strangers. He calls them Lord. He calls himself your servant. In Abraham's mind, he is only there to please the stranger in front of him. And that is what humility looks like. And I think this is really different from the way that we usually see our relationships with other people, and even people who we serve, even people who we give good things to. I don't often think we see people like that. We don't usually see ourselves as servants and other people as masters. I think we adopt all sorts of other roles instead. We see ourselves as traders or customers. And we think to ourselves, I'm only giving it to you so that you will give to me in the future. Or even worse, I will only give to you once you have given to me. Or we kind of flip that servant-master dynamic around so that we see ourselves as the masters and we see other people as the servants, so that even when we provide a service to others, we feel like we're just doing such a massive favor for them, that they should be thankful for our beneficence, that we are entitled to their thankfulness and appreciation. But that's not how servants think. Or maybe we just see ourselves according to the model of worldly politeness. I'm doing this for you because it is the socially polite thing to do. But that's not how Abraham sees himself. Abraham doesn't see himself as a trader or a master or as a member of polite society. He sees himself as a servant. He doesn't want anything in return. He doesn't want payment or thanks or appreciation or respect. All he wants is for these strangers to stay. And he can't make them stay. He can't put a gun to their head, but he will do his best to try and convince them to stay by doing the best that he can for them. Is that our message when we meet strangers? Do we communicate to them by our words and our deeds, I want you in my life, I want you to stay? Or do we communicate something else when we meet strangers? Maybe we communicate, I don't have time for people like you. or we communicate, you've got to earn my trust and my respect. Or maybe we communicate, I'm going to do my own thing, and if you don't like it, you can leave. See, if that is us, then we can't claim to be like Jesus. Because Jesus, even more than Abraham, showed us what humble service looks like when he died for us. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 to 11, it says, "Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God as a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by being obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." You see, Jesus, by his actions, showed that he wanted us in his life. He showed that he was willing to do the very best for us. He was willing to become a human and die so that our sins could be forgiven and so that we could have a relationship with him, and we should do the same. Hospitality involves a position of humility. The second lesson that I think we can learn from the example of Abraham about hospitality is the provision of abundance. Notice the quantities of food that Abraham provides for these strangers. It is absolutely huge. 3 sayers of flour would make about 22 liters worth of bread. That is a lot of loaves. And one whole calf would have been more than 3 people could reasonably eat. It's a whole animal here. I was reading some commentators about this passage, and there were some who said that the reason why Abraham provides so much is because he knows that angels have a much bigger appetite than human beings, and so he's kind of trying to provide for them stuff that they can eat. But it says in the Bible that Abraham doesn't know that these are angels. And so I think the real reason that Abraham's providing so much is that he's being generous. He's just providing for them in abundance. And I know that in our world nowadays, there is a lot more concern about waste. You know, we're called very much so to not use resources that we don't need. But I don't think that's a good enough reason to not provide for others in abundance. Just say that it's not in lockdown and you are at someone else's wedding reception. And dinner is being served. And the waiter gives you this massive plate, but on that plate is just this little morsel of meat, you know, 1 centimeter cubed. And just a single leaf for the veg. I don't think at that point you'd be thinking, well, at least we're not being wasteful. I think you'd be thinking, I've been ripped off. Whereas you go to Abraham's place, Abraham provides you with more food than you can possibly eat. And I don't think that's wasteful. I don't think that he chucks the rest away. You know, you can always save it for later. That's what they would have done in that society. You see, at Abraham's house, you are never in the position where you have to wonder if it's okay for you to take that last slice of pizza. You never have to wonder whether it's okay for you to take that last hakau or silmai out of the steamer. You never have to ask the awkward question to everyone else on the table, does anyone else want this last piece? When it's actually you who wants it. You see how abundance makes people feel welcome. When there is abundance, you don't have to watch yourself. You can be comfortable and relax. Is that what we provide to strangers? You know, do we give the impression that our time and our energy and our possessions are there to be shared with others and that we have them in abundance? Or do we give the impression that we have so precious little to spare when it comes to what we can give? No, I don't think it's a case of, you know, some people have more time than others. All of us have 24 hours in the day. I think the issue is that we invest our time and energy and money into things that just don't allow us to share them. You say yes to jobs that we can barely perform. They take up more than our 40 hours a week. They stress us out. We get quite a bit of money from those jobs, but we put them into home loans that we can barely pay back, so we don't feel like we can be generous to others or to church. We study and get tutored to get into university courses that are quite possibly too difficult for us to do. You see, we put ourselves in the position where we have given our lives to things that we are just completely not able to drop if someone close to us is in need. And I don't think that's Abraham. Abraham had put himself in a position where he had time and energy and food to spare to share with these strangers. He did not have to be stingy with them, and he certainly didn't look stingy at all. And it's the same with Jesus, isn't it? You know, Jesus provides for us in abundance. He gives us every spiritual blessing in Christ, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. He gives us everything we need for life and godliness, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Jesus gives to us, and he doesn't say to us, hey, now I've done my bit, you do your bit. No, he gives us all the bits. Now, you've got to be clear here. There are a few differences between us and Jesus. Jesus does have unlimited time and energy and resources because he is God, and we don't have unlimited time and energy and resources. But all the same, shouldn't we be trying to be as generous as Jesus? Hospitality involves a provision of abundance. And so we've got those two things that characterize Abraham's hospitality, that position of humility and that provision of abundance. But you might kind of think to yourself, there might be a few questions that arise kind of when it comes to that, especially in showing it to strangers. So let's take some time to address them. First one, what if people refuse? When I put myself out there, when I try and show hospitality to people, but they reject it, what do I say to that? Well, there are a few things to say. Firstly, be reassured that you have done your bit. You know, you can't control how people respond to you. Maybe secondly, also consider if your way of loving that person might not be something that they appreciate. You know, it might not be their love language. And so maybe change your approach next time. But thirdly, I think also remember that we are in a world where hospitality is weird, where independence and self-sufficiency are respected. And so it might take a while for people to be vulnerable enough to depend on others. But in any case, I think I want to say to that, if you're a person who gets refused more than you refuse others, you're probably in the right position, because that's what Jesus is like, after all. Second concern, isn't welcoming strangers dangerous? Just say there's a knock at my door, and at my door is a guy in a prison uniform. He's got handcuffs on. There are police sirens in the distance. He asks me whether he can stay at my place. Am I to show hospitality to this stranger? A few things to say to this. Firstly, even when you offer hospitality to someone, it is still your place and you get to set the rules. And maybe for strangers, they might need to hear that up front. And if they don't respect that, it is upon them to leave, not you, to change the rules. But secondly, also, hospitality is offered by those who have the strength to serve. And if we are not able to provide hospitality things like security for ourselves and security for our guests, then I think that maybe there might be others who are better suited to showing hospitality to certain persons. But I also want to say to that maybe we should probably avoid being prejudiced when thinking about strangers too. You know, not every person we meet is going to be a serial killer. And I think as Christians, generally, we want to err on the side of generosity. I think another concern might be, you know, finally, when we welcome strangers, what if they take advantage of our hospitality? I think this is something that I really feel strongly. I really don't like this feeling of being used and manipulated by other people. And I feel that, and I hate that feeling, until I realize that that's how I treat Jesus every day. So to that kind of concern, I think I'd say that you're allowed to worry about other people taking advantage of your generosity when you stop taking advantage of Jesus' generosity. But until then, you treat people like Jesus treated you. Okay, so those are a few concerns, and I think kind of hopefully I've answered those in a bit of a constructive way. But when I've been talking applications so far, when I've been talking about Abraham, I've mainly been talking about kind of having people over to our places for meals. That tends to be the traditional definition of hospitality, but I don't think that's the be-all and end-all. It can also be sharing your things with people. It can be taking the time to listen to people. It can be going out for a meal or coffee together, especially if you don't have a place for your own. It is still possible for you to show hospitality. But I also want to talk about what it means to welcome a stranger at church. So when someone new kind of comes into our building and joins us for a church service, what kind of attitude should we have toward them? Based on this passage, the first thing God wants us to think when we see a guest come through our doors is, if they were an angel bringing a message from God, how would I treat them? God wants us to remember Abraham, who entertained angels unawares. Remember his position of humility and take a similar position of humility to our guests. We are not their lords as if we're doing them a massive favor. We're not trading with them as if expecting favors in return. We are their servants. We are here to do them good. We want them to stay. We want them in our lives. And so take that position of humility. Be like Jesus to them. Show by your sacrifices that you want them to stay and that you want them in your life. Serve them. Maybe find out what they need. That will often involve talking to them and help them to get whatever it is that they need. You know, why are they here with us? Are they looking for friends? Are they looking for community? Are they looking for truth? Are they looking for hope or security or comfort? Whatever it is, it's our job to serve them by providing it for them. With guests who come to church, adopt that position of humility. And then also, remember Abraham's provision of abundance. Part of this is probably the responsibility of the church budget, especially as far as food is concerned. When we get out of lockdown, we want the food we provide to be generous. We don't want to look stingy. We don't want people to feel bad for taking what we're giving. But generosity is more than just food. It's also generosity with our time, with our energy, with ourselves. And so by going up to people and speaking to them, we convey we are not too busy to meet them. We're not too stuck up and aloof to associate with them. And if it gets to the point where they would want to come over to our places or go out for a drink with us, by inviting them, we convey that people are worth our time. If you're worried maybe that your conversation skills aren't up to the point where you can show that you want to spend a lot of time with people, I want to say still, you don't get off the hook. Okay, I want to say to you, firstly, if you want to get good at that, then try that with church people first so that you can learn how to do it with guests. Church is like the most forgiving place ever to learn how to do almost anything, because the Bible says if we don't forgive you, Jesus doesn't forgive us. So church is a great, safe place to learn hospitality. But even then, if you're a quiet person, there are still things that you can do to serve and provide for guests. You know, if you can't hold a long conversation with people, just grab a plate of food and walk over and say hi and offer them something. You know, food is one of the great social lubricants. It's what Abraham did. With guests who come to church, offer a position, a provision of abundance. And I want to say that all this stuff kind of goes without saying. You kind of can't do any of these things if you don't turn up to church, and also if you don't turn up early. Guests statistically arrive earlier than most regulars who come to church. And so if you want to be obedient to God and be a servant of strangers, be a person who is here reliably. When you go to Target, the supermarket, and there's a person outside Target and their one job, their only job, is just to say hi to people who come in and bye to people who leave. You know, it's a bit cringe when we kind of walk past them because we know that they're just paid to do it. But what if we as a church did it right? What if we saw ourselves truly as servants of strangers, not because we're paid to, but because we want to? Each of us should think of ourselves as greeters like that. All of us are on the welcoming team at church, not just the two who sit at the front desk. And all of us should be thinking to ourselves that a guest at church, standing by themselves before or after church, is an emergency. And for an emergency, whether you help them yourself or call Hospitality 000 and get someone else to help, you do something in an emergency. The thing that you don't do in an emergency is stand by yourself and do nothing. With strangers at church, we treat them with hospitality, treating them like we would the angels of God. It's an old saying that you can tell the character of a person by how they treat people whom they don't have to treat well. No one else in the rest of this world is going to criticize you or judge you for not welcoming a stranger into your life, for ignoring a stranger. But God will, because that is how he treated us. Like Abraham, God adopted a position of humility in his son Jesus Christ coming to our world and dying for us. Like Abraham, God offers a provision of abundance in every spiritual blessing in Christ and everything we need for life and godliness. God will give us all things. And God calls us to do likewise. Not just to family, and not just to friends, but even to strangers. Because you never know when one is an angel in disguise. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the example of Abraham. We thank you for his position of humility, and we pray that we may adopt a similar position of humility when we meet strangers. We pray that the message that we send may not be one of arrogance or aloofness, but rather one that wants people in our lives and wants relationship with people. Lord, we thank you for Abraham's provision of abundance. And Lord, we pray that when we show hospitality, we may show that we have much to spare and much to share with those who are strangers. Lord, we pray that by the way that we do this, people may feel welcomed and at ease. We pray this for our own lives, but we also pray it for our church. We pray that our church may be a welcoming place where people are provided with other people, with time and energy and the love to serve them. And Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.